Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 2nd, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you get help after the program, call me. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. Now, prophecyhour.com is very smartphone-friendly, and so if you go over there, you scroll down on the right-hand side, thing says End Time Radio Archives, that's branch.podomatic.com. At that place, there are apps that you can get to listen to the radio program for your smartphone, as I hear so many of you listen on smartphone. And remember, we are also, even though we're international by the standard of the internet, we are a national satellite radio program. So please pray about supporting airtime. Airtime is now due, and so you folks out there say, well, I don't want to donate to the homeless and poor, but pray about donation for airtime, because it costs money to be on the air, believe me. And we don't sell anything, as you know, on the air. And so please pray about supporting airtime and the Mission Church. Now a prayer, and I'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio goes tonight according to your will and not my will. Because, Father, I don't know how to do radio. I don't know how to do anything. You know all things and can do all things. So please help us tonight. Give everyone out there ears and wish to hear the truth. And so please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. What a nice guest been on with us many times. I keep bringing him back on, like I keep saying, because people like to hear him. He does really well in the archives, and so I know people are listening to him. He has been speaking much about Daniel 8 in the light of recent events. He's back on to speak more about this subject. We'll just bring him on right now. He does have a website, though. It is called the Sure Word of Prophecy. Sure Word of Prophecy. Welcome back, Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Steve?
Greetings and grace to you, Pastor Dan. How are you tonight?
Oh, fair to partly cloudy. I'm trying to work out something. My just in brief, my previous webmaster from many years ago got the domain for our website, you know, and over the years he just kept paying, you know, $10 a year, nothing for the domain, but we needed to get it in our control. Well, finally the inevitable happened, and we need it in our control, and for no reason we can't reach him. So our main website, which is messiahsbranch.org, folks, don't freak out if you go over there, because there's nothing there but a blank page. We're working on getting it back up, but that's what I'm in the middle of. Devil at work, what can I say? And how are you this week?
Brother, I just counted it a joy to be on your program and a joy to have another day that I can praise the Almighty. You know, for me, I think there's so many things coming together prophetically. It makes your head spin just trying to keep up with all of it, doesn't it, brother?
Yeah. No, it's just one thing after another. Have you been, watching that about Iran today, the back and forth. Iran says America's lying, and it looks from the details that Iran just put out that I got off the Drudge Report a while ago, it looks like that we're taking away all the sanctions and they're headed to make a bomb and so on and so forth. What do you think about that?
Oh, brother. Just today. And matter of fact, just recent news, I turned on the world news this evening, and I understand that the B5 world negotiators have finally come up with a framework to a very long, tense series of meetings to try to keep Iran from getting the bomb. And now they have formulated a 7-point agreement, which will be finalized here in June. And what a joke this is, and I'm sure that when Congress gets a hold of it, they'll laugh quite a bit at it. But one of the points that I pulled off of there is this one. The third point is the breakout time. And I think they're really proud of themselves that they've negotiated it in a way now where the breakout time won't be as quick. It says the period of time that it would take for Iran to acquire the material it needs to make one nuclear weapon, currently assessed at 2 or 3 months, would now be extended to about 1 year under the New Deal.
Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of negotiating. That's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears there, isn't it, brother? Can you see what's going on here?
I know what's going on here. We just gave them, let's say Obama is just going to give them everything. Netanyahu also just came out with some interesting tweets to Obama and said, this leaves Israel in dire jeopardy. This puts them on the pathway to build a bomb. And so, you know, whatever rhetoric Obama's trying to say, he's looking for a legacy thing or whatever, but Obama is paving the path to give him a bomb. But I don't think it's a legacy thing. I don't think that's why Obama's doing it. Why do you think Obama's doing it? Any thoughts?
Well, the scripture says, brother, that it's God that removes kings and sets them up. And he set up Obama, apparently, and we have no other blame, but we say the voters did it, but I think God himself did it, because we're getting ready to face some big trouble. And any time you ever have seen a nation fall, a wicked leader was put in place, and again, I think I've said that before in your program, I hope that you don't misconstrue what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying I think that there's a bad agenda underneath the surface here, and I don't think many people, they're led like sheep to the slaughter. They just follow any shepherd, and he talks well, and he seems to have his act together. But I think that evidence proves that his foreign policy is shot. The Middle East is worse than it ever has been. And he said even not long ago that Yemen was one of his models of good terrorism fighting. You know, and so.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you know, I have to laugh about Yemen. He said, what did he say that about 2 months before Yemen blew up?
I don't think it was even that, brother. It was pretty close to that, yeah. Yeah, and well, so, you know, they're grabbing at straws. Everyone recognizes, anyone that's looking and watching, recognizes that we are in deep, deep trouble, not only in this country, but around the Middle East especially. Along with the news tonight, and just two or three headlines, just within a period of 10 minutes, did you hear about the terrorist who went into a Kenyan university and separated the Christians from the others and killed 147 and injured 70 or so? This was just recent news here a few hours ago. The terrorist Al-Shabaab, I guess, were the ones that went in and killed.
I saw the headline, but I didn't get the details. So tell me again about that. What happened?
Well, they went in with some masked gunmen, as their usual protocol, and went into a Kenyan university, and they separated the Christians. They found out who the Christians were, and they separated from the others, and they killed 147 of them and injured 70 or so. In addition to that, here's another headline. Today in this country, they arrested a couple of bomb-making women in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s, who had big plans to create havoc on America. And they were getting things together, bomb-making materials, who were loyal to Al-Qaeda here in this country. So, you know, I think that if you just look around America and you're seeing all of these lone wolves, as they're referring to, as being caught, but how many are being caught and how many are not being caught? They arrested an American in Pakistan also today who was instrumental in having both his hands in coordinating an anti-American plan to attack this country. They arrested him over there. He's from America. So you can be guaranteed that if the scripture says that the great nation of America is going to fall, and we're going to probably not get into the great horn tonight, but I do want to look at the specifics of the prophecy that we have been sharing, which I have kind of just done on a surface level. But tonight I wanted to look a little bit deeper into the prophecy of Daniel 8. As you or your listening audience are aware, I've been extremely interested in these prophecies for, 25 years or so. And, of course, there are 100 other prophecies that were recorded by the prophets of old, but Yeshua singled out the prophet Daniel and tied his writings into the end. And in the last month, the news has lined up to verify that, indeed, in my opinion, the time has arrived for the unfolding of the war between the West and Iran. And this is the prophecy found in Daniel the 8th chapter. And through my study, I recognize that the catalyst of the earth's unraveling will start with this war, brother. And my focus for this evening will be on the Ram of Daniel 8 and take a closer look at the details of what will bring this war together that will eventually pull the whole world into it. But before I get started, I'd like to say a couple things, brother, about specifics of prophecy and how important it is to understand even the small details. Don't seem to have much appearance, or much importance, but every little detail is important when you try to put an interpretation on it. And one thing that amazed me, Pastor Dan, about prophecy is, the attention and information the prophets convey, which appears to be little details, are nonetheless important clues. And if you're just reading a prophecy on the surface, you're going to pass over some important things that appear to be insignificant, but you'll miss the details that will help you to identify and locate that which is written. But to look at the smaller details, if necessary, will increase your awareness in what you're looking for when the prophesied event takes place. That make sense to you?
Makes great sense.
So, for a moment, let me give you an example of this. Let's use the prophecy foretold of the Messiah, Yeshua, for a minute, as an example. For those who were teachers in Israel in Yeshua's day, there were many details that, if they would have had Yahweh's Spirit and examined the details, they would have known the Messiah when he showed up. They would have known better. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Putting the specifics together bring a more comprehensible picture to what to look for. And so, in the prophet Micah's writings, he specified the Messiah's birthplace very clearly. He said, Bethlehem, though you be a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. And then another prophet shows up, and he says something about, in connection to the Messiah, the prophet Malachi gave another specific detail. He said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. So common sense would dictate an inquiry as the specifics are pondered. For example, how many men have been born in Bethlehem and one man, and how many has a forerunner prepared for his way together? So you're putting these two details together. Then the prophet Zechariah prophesied that we would rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, the daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes as he is just and having salvation, lowly riding upon a donkey into Jerusalem. Well, this evidence adds up as one puts the details together. The question is then, one man and how many, who was born in Bethlehem and who had a forerunner sent before him, entered into Jerusalem as a king riding on a colt on the foal of an ass. Then Zechariah prophesies, and one shall say, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded was in the house of my friends. Wow. Then you start putting these details together. This really gives you a larger picture of what to look for, and the picture becomes clearer. One begins to ponder, one in how many, the world over, has been betrayed by a friend, and that betrayal has resulted in being wounded in his hands. So if you're putting all these pieces together, you're getting a larger picture. Here's another prophecy of the same prophet. He says, and I said to them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my piece 30 pieces of silver. Now, this wasn't 30 pieces of gold or 25 pieces of iron or anything. This was exactly 30 pieces of silver. And so as you study the prophecies, they're very specific in what would appear to be very small details. But when you add all of the little details together, you get a big picture. Here another prophecy. The Lord said to me, cast into the potter a goodly price that I prize to them, and I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. So every detail builds on another, where you cannot mistake the clear picture of what you're looking for. One man and how many, after receiving a bride for the betrothal of a friend, had returned the money, had it refused, had it thrown on the floor in the house of the Lord, and then had it used to purchase a field for the potter. And then Prophet Isaiah joins in, and he gives another detail of it. He says he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before his shearers is dumb, and he opened not his mouth. So in pondering this detail, one man in how many, after fulfilling all the prophecies I just spoke of, when he is oppressed and afflicted and is on trial for his life, though innocent, will make no defense for himself. And then King David says of prophetic revelation, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hand and my feet. And so you ponder, one man in how many, from the time of David on, has been crucified. I think you get the picture, don't you, Brother Dan? What I might add before I go on here is that the Messiah Yeshua had all of these fulfilled in himself, and 300 overall prophecies were literally met by this one person. Put those out, yeah, take a day.
Amen. Amen. And we're coming up on Passover that we celebrate his death as he told us to. And anyway.
Absolutely. He has set the times and the seasons for us to watch. First month, 14th day at midnight, they were delivered out of Egypt. First month, 14th day, they began to enter into the promised land. And first month, 14th day, 1,500 years later, Yeshua is hanging on a cross. And so these times are important. And I think a lot of people ignore the times and the seasons also. Brother, what do you think?
They should know the times and the seasons, because that's what the word says. It says, for you're not children of the darkness, for you should know the sign, you're children of the light, that you should know the times and the seasons.
Yes, sir. And brother, the season is upon us, and that is a season of harvest. I believe that God is putting together his harvest, and I believe it's going to be reaped here pretty soon. And the evidence is the prophecies and the details that specify that, and the time prophecies which are attached to these things. So when Yeshua spoke of the prophet Daniel, and I began to look at the details over 2,500 years ago, I recognized that the first thing that would happen in the scope of the world coming falling apart and then coming together through the Antichrist would be this vision of Daniel chapter 8. And this talk is entitled The Ram Dominating the Middle East. So what I'm trying to say is, if you know the details thoroughly, you'll recognize it when you see it in front of you, and most of the time, not until then. But at least you know what you're looking for, because you know the scriptures well enough to know what you're looking for. And then when you see them, then you can blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. So let's focus this evening, Pastor Dan, on details of a few verses of the prophet's vision in Daniel 8, and pay attention to details and see if we are viewing in the Middle East anything that has any relevance to this prophecy. And I'm going to share some news with you that will confirm this. First of all, let's look at the verses itself I want to center in on, and that's found in Daniel 8, chapter 8, verse 2 through 4, and I'll read it briefly. I looked in the vision, and while I was looking, I was in the citadel of Susa, which is in the province of Elam. And I looked in the vision, and I myself was beside the Ulai Canal. Here's the detail. Then I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a ram which had two horns was standing in front of the canal. There's another detail. Now the two horns were long. One was longer than the other, and the longer one was coming up last. Another detail. I saw the ram butting westward, northward, and southward, and no other beast could stand before him, nor was there any to rescue from his power, but he did as he pleased and magnified himself. There is a mouthful of details in these select verses. So what I like to do for a moment is do an exegesis on these select verses and and try to define a few statements about the Ram's identity, geography, and activities that capture the attention of others and usher in the wrath from countries coming from a certain direction. What do you think about that, brother? Does that sound good to you?
Sounds great.
All right. The geographical location is of the ancient Ulai, which is now the modern-day Karun River. The Ram is standing at the border of Iraq and Iran. Very specific detail. You nor I have to guess and see something secret in this. It's a geographical location. So the Ram is standing at the confluence of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers at a certain river that goes out into the Persian Gulf, right there in between Iraq and Iran. So we know where the Ram is. This is a specific detail, and we do not have to guess about where he's standing. X marks the spot. Also, by the testament of Daniel's writings, we see in Daniel 8 and verse 20, as Gabriel gives the interpretation, a very specific detail. The ram which you saw, which had the two horns, represents the kings of Media and Persia. No guessing here. And the Medes and Persians were in what is now the modern-day Iraq and Iran when Daniel wrote his visions down. Students of history acknowledge the details of the emergence of Darius and Cyrus, which came into Babylon and took out their kingdom and inhabited this land. So there's a historical record and a geographical pinpoint as to where the Ram began to grab attention. So we know by the testimony of Daniel's writings that this involves Iran and Iraq. Now, an additional detail. The focus on the Ram concerns two horns. One is higher than the other. The higher one comes up after the first. This indicates that one country will have the attention on the scene, and then a larger or more powerful country will come in after the fact and join in with the first country. Subsequently...
Hey, I'm sorry, Steve. We're going to have to break in. I've let you go too long. We're going to break in about about a minute. When did you give your website real quick so we can go to break?
Sure. I'm sorry for being so long-winded, brother.
It's no problem. I should have bumped you before now.
Okay. SherwoodProphecy.org. I want to let you, the listeners know I've put some presentations on YouTube. And just to look up Sherwood of Prophecies, and I have full-length presentations there. I have the Jerusalem presentation, Daniel presentation, and a couple of... I just put the Rapture Left Behind presentation on there. You will really enjoy that one. So, bless you, brother.
Okay. Well, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
We are back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. So why do so many people come to us for help? Well, really loves the first answer, and then they're treated as family. Second, beyond that, well, you know, we really have no guidelines like programs. We have relationships. That's what we give them. We give people a relationship so they'll look for the relationship in Messiah. And that way that some of them might just get saved. But what do? We give out all kinds of things. We do first aid. People come in beat up, cut up, and bloody, and I fix them up. I don't question why or ask them what happened to them. You know, if they want to volunteer, fine. But, you know, I try to get them to go to the emergency room, fine. But if they don't want to go, then I just patch them up. Then when we have the money, we give over-the-counter medications and things like pain pills, cold pills, so on and so forth. Blankets, hats, gloves. We're really short on blankets, hats, and gloves, but that's what we give out. We feed them, you know. We give them Bibles. We could sure use some large print King James Bibles right now. And it's a new month. You know, we haven't even paid the bills from last month, and I know everybody, the economy is getting harder and harder and harder, but we still really do need your help. You know, we're not a huge, gigantic ministry that has 200 middle-class people in the congregation that gives 10% to keep us going. We minister to the poor and to the homeless. And so the people even in our congregation that have money don't have the money that it takes to do what we do. So pray about it. We really do need your help. A donation tonight would be great. If you can't do a donation by electronic means, you can mail a donation. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And you know what size donation? All donations matter, no matter what size. But you know what donations count? Which ones the Father notices? The one that come from where? Your heart. That's what counts. So you can all just be blessed, but we're now back with Steve Henderson talking about the book of Daniel and what's going on with the world. Are you still there with me, Steve?
I'm here, my brother.
Well, amen.
Every time I hear about your mission over there, I just get a lot of joy in my heart knowing there are people that really see and understand what it is to be blessed. And I know you're a blessed man because of what you're doing. And again, I commend you, brother, for that.
Well, thank you, brother.
Well, okay, let's get back to the RAM. I have some ground to cover, and it seems like about time I get started. I never can get it to the part that I really want to get to. The RAM is warring in three different directions in this prophecy. So this is a very important point to examine also. If these two countries begin to get aggressive and they shoot out and bully in certain directions, then it can be verified when it happens. If these countries bully in a direction not specified by the prophet, then we go back and reassess our understanding. So the prophet says that they were being aggressive toward the south and toward the west and toward the north, but not eastward. And so this ram would have to be pressing in these three different directions. It was paying attention to details and with the help of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you can know all the details in the world without the Spirit of God. Forget it. But it was when I began to study these prophecies, I discovered that the historical application in which almost everyone had placed this prophecy in the area of 580 to 168 BC time frame could not have been literally met in that day because of the details. Especially in light that Gabriel, one of the major details in Daniel 8, is Gabriel gave the interpretation, he said that this is an end-time vision, so you can't put it in B.C. If Gabriel placed it at the end, then we cannot, with any spiritual integrity, place it in B.C. Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
and remember
absolutely.
One of the details. When you see, Jesus said, when you see there that which Daniel wrote about, so that was after B.C. came, and he's saying, when you therefore see it. So evidently, there's something more to this prophecy than most people are propagating. It's also important to note another very clear hermeneutical principle when it comes to prophecy is it's important to note that Jews cannot be excluded from this Jewish prophecy. And when we interpret Jewish prophets, there's always an attachment to that people. And so when I began to recognize that the historical fulfillment wasn't right, the application to the prophecy, I began to study the history of Iraq and watch that quite closely. And Saddam Hussein, you know, of course, he had a bone to pick with Israel, and he even amassed a Jerusalem Liberation Army and was sending suicide bombers into Israel and Jerusalem at the tune of paying them $25,000 a head to be martyrs and blow themselves up to liberate the Palestinians and eliminate the Jews. And so when the Gulf War had happened, he sent over 40 Scud missiles into Israel. So when it talks about the Medes and Persians, there has to be some connection to the Jewish state. Of course, we all recognize when God said, I'm going to bring them back to the land, these prophecies would also at the end become clear. When the prophet speaks of the Medes and Persians, there will be a connection to something that will happen in Israel. So in the remaining time I have with you, brother, I would like to comment and share an update with the listeners on what is going on, going down as I speak. In recent years, and especially the last few months, Tehran has ratcheted up its direct involvement in several Arab countries, thanks to the silence in part of the U.S., by the way. This silence has been interpreted in the Arab world as support for Iran becoming a hegemonic military and political regional superpower. And, you know, the Sunni Arab camp has appeared to be in a state of disintegration and division both politically and militarily after 5 years of internal erosion following the Arab Spring. You've been watching that quite closely, haven't you, brother?
Very, very much so. Arab Spring, when it started, that's when we decided to start blowing the shofar as warning because the Father put it on my heart.
I'll tell you, it's amazing. So I'd like to look at some of the current news that I'd like to share with you. What I'm pulling out of the news just in the last week or so.
Okay.
Number one, Iran now dominates Iraq. Sold it $10 billion worth of arms, report says. In the eyes of most Iraqis, it propagates, their country's best ally in the war against the Islamic State group is not the United States in a coalition air campaign against its militants. It's Iran, which is credited with stopping the extremist march on Baghdad. Shiite, non-Arab Iran has effectively taken charge of Iran's defense against a Sunni radical group, meeting the Iraq government's need for immediate help on the ground. 2 to 3 Iranian military aircraft a day land at Baghdad airport, bringing in weapons and ammunition. Iran's most potent military force and best-known general, the Revolutionary Guard's elite Qud force, which Qud means Jerusalem force, and its commander, General Qasem Soleimani, are organizing Iraq forces and have become the de facto leaders of Iraq Shia militias that are the backbone of the fight. Iran has carried out airstrikes to help push militants from Iraq province. Now they are together, and both of these countries are together, when in fact it was such an incredible thing just not long ago, and from 1980 to 1988, they were the biggest arch enemies in the world in that war they fought for 8 years. And so now we find that they're together, and that's what the prophet said. He said that two horns will get together, the focus will be on one, but a higher nation would get up together with the other horn, and then they will begin to get aggressive. And this is exactly what we are seeing. Here you find before our very eyes, if you know the details, Iran is right alongside Iraq, and they are starting to talk about being a regional superpower. Here is an article out of the Pakistani Urdu Daily, March 29th, just a couple, 3 days ago. It's entitled, Iran's Interference in Iraq's Affairs Under American Patronage Has Become So Much That It Appears As If Iraq Is Part of Iran. In an editorial titled, Dire Consequences of Iranian Interference in Iraq, the Zanami Islam argues that Iran is out to create a Shia empire which would destabilize the whole region. I don't know. When I see these articles, and I envisioned for a long time the destabilization, as Daniel speaks, would happen in this prophecy before our very eyes, it's coming to pass. And the article continues. The biggest and most important reason for Iraq's current situation is undoubtedly foreign interference. At this stage, Iraq has become a war theater of Iran and America, which ostensibly are arch rivals on the international political chessboard. Both America and Iran, for their own objectives, have united in the name of fighting the Islamic State. America has taken command of the airstrikes, whereas the leadership of the ground war is at the time in the hands of the regular army of Iran. Not only this, Iran's interference in Iraqi affairs under American patronage has become so much that it appears as if Iraq is part of Iran. Other nations of the region are rightly feeling that this black role of Iran is a serious threat to their existence. They fear that Iran, under the guise of fighting the Islamic State, in fact, wants to establish its empire in the region on a sectarian basis, and they would not be able to escape its reach. This threat is not a hypothesis played up in some political stunt. Deriving advantage out of the general climate emerging due to the Islamic State's terrorist activities, Iran has planted its black claws in Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Lebanon, and this has made the danger real. And it's for this reason that the Kurds, who wholeheartedly become and have welcomed and supported the Arab countries and international powers against the Islamic State, have given indications of withdrawing support after having witnessed its role in Iraq, and that Iran is reaping all the benefits of this war. Due to Iran's increasing interference in Iraq, there exists not only a danger of its division on a sectarian basis and great bloodshed there, but because of the Iranian expansionist instinct, other countries and regions also face real dangers of instability. Seeing Iran's unnecessarily increasing role in Iraq, the important neighbor of Iraq, Saudi Arabia, raised its voice, pointing toward Iran's increasing influence in Iraq. The Saudi foreign minister clearly told his American counterpart, it's happening under your patronage, and you better do something about it. Now we find, Brother Dan, that this situation has worsened in Yemen, and now Saudi Arabia has taken right. It to their point, the place, where they are now, in fact, bombing in Yemen as we speak, and Iran has moved warships up on the Gulf of Aden.
Well, and, just a moment. Let me break in here a second. Actually, there was eight nations that went together for that bombing of Yemen with Saudi Arabia. Right. They're forming their own alliance, and now with the last developments in the last 2 days over the Iranian situation, they're talking about doing their own nuclear weapons. And so, you know, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. That place over there is on fire. And people just need to wake up and realize how far we are in Bible prophecy. They just, some mean people here in the West are just saying, oh, it's years away, years away. But I don't think so.
I don't, because we recognize that Daniel's prophecies are in our face. It is an absolute huge powder keg over there ready to blow. And it all would take with just one day. One person get mad enough to either throw off a bomb, and I'm telling you, Netanyahu is getting real nervous, and he says we will not see a second Holocaust, and he's very displeased and very vocal about his intent of getting, of keeping Iran from getting the bomb. But now with this agreement, so-called agreement, now it's moved it from 2 or 3 months away from getting a bomb to a year, and we're prolonging the inevitable, in my opinion. And at some point in time, this ram is going to get larger, and it's going to begin to push. And according to the prophecies, no one in that region is going to be able to handle this ram. So whatever this ram is up to, it's already got its tentacles in a lot of places. And I'll read that here in this next article. Recently, in a TV interview, analyst Mohammed Sarkay Hosseini called Saudi Arabia a tribe on the verge of extinction. And he was a former advisor to the president, former President Khatami, and he further said, we in the Axis of Resistance are the new sultans of the Mediterranean and in the Gulf. We in Tehran, Damascus, Hezbollah's southern tip of Beirut, Baghdad, and Sana'a will shape the map of the region. We are the new sultans of the Red Sea as well. Furthermore, he proclaimed, a third world war has begun. Now, a belligerent Tehran now boasts of dominating four Arab capitals. Please listen. They are boasting of dominating four Arab capitals, their capitals being Baghdad, Damascus, Beirut, and Sana'a. And this is a mounting concern and problem in the Middle East. Abrupt Iranian gains have many in fearing Iran. A senior advisor to Iran's the new President Rouhani, Ali Yenisi, even declared the Persian Empire was now revived. To the advisor to the Iranian president, he proudly states, Iran is an empire. Iraq is our capital. We will defend all the peoples of the region. Iranian Islam is pure Islam, devoid of Arabism, racism, and nationalism. You know, as I go down these articles, it becomes very aware that this ram is getting big, and it's stretching out its tentacles, and it's pressing northward, and it's going westward, and it's going southward. And you know what is amazing? There's no movement east. I think that's pretty amazing, too. And we can talk about that at some other time. Here's an article.
Okay.
Turkish president warns Iran about trying to dominate Middle East. This was 2 days ago coming out of Turkey. Turkey's president warned that it will not tolerate Iran dominating the Middle East, amid growing concerns inside the country that it will be sucked up into a sectarian conflict with its neighbor. Last Thursday, Erdogan accused Tehran of having its forces in Yemen, adding that Turkey would not tolerate Iran's attempts to dominate the Middle East. He proclaims, Turkey feels as if there is a rapprochement between the West and Iran. That will be the price of Turkey. Because for decades, Turkey was the ally and partner of the West. Now, Turkey feels so alone. As Iran rises, Turkey gets lower. Turkey feels isolated. Another story, article. Navy commander rejects Iranian warships departing the Gulf of Aden. This is 2 days ago, and Yemen has fallen apart. I'm sorry, brother. Did you want to say something?
No, you just heard me banging on something, but this is all just heated up. How far do you think this is going to go before it explodes?
Well, what's going to happen, according to, this is what we see happening over there right now, because of the nuclear agreement and because of the nervousness of now some of the Arab nations are getting together to fight terrorism and fight Shia. It's a Shia-Sunni thing. But Iran's going to ratchet it up a little bit. And right now they are supplying Hezbollah. I have another article here I think I want to go down just to, and kind of move forward it quickly, because there's some major articles that I want to put out here to show you that things are worsening with the intent of Iran. Here's
okay.
One. Iran, Israel. Iran militia chief, destroying Israel is non-negotiable. This is March 31st, just a couple days ago, brother. And this is out of the Times of Israel. It propagates. The commander of the Ba'athist militia of the Iran's Revolutionary Guards said that erasing Israel off the map is non-negotiable, according to an Israeli radio report Tuesday. In 2014, the doc said Iran was stepping up efforts to arm the West Bank Palestinians for battle against Israel, adding that the move would lead to Israel's annihilation, Iran's Far News Agency reported. Arming the West Bank has started, and weapons will be supplied to the people of the region, and the Zionists should know that the next war won't be confined to the present borders, and the Mujahideen will push them back. That's just a couple days ago. Here's another article. Netanyahu voices outrage that nuclear talks go on while Iran vows to destroy Israel. So not only is Iran pushing and getting more focused on their intent to destroy Israel out in the open, and while they're doing nuclear negotiations to try to get the nuclear program deterred by Iran, Iran is saying the destruction of Israel is non-negotiable. In an infuriated statement, PM demands a better deal and says cessation of Tehran's aggression should be non-negotiable. That's what should be non-negotiable, according to Netanyahu. On Wednesday, he accelerated that the world powers have their dog pursuit of the nuclear deal with Iran, pointing to recent statements by officials of Tehran, notably their call to eliminate Israel, as evidence of the Islamic Republic's unwillingness to compromise on its nuclear ambitions in a campaign of terror, subjugation, and conquest. And these articles really show you that it's not just about the Middle East here. It's about moving over into that area that God put his name in. Yesterday, it says, an Iranian general brazenly declared Israel's destruction is non-negotiable. Then he, in stark contrast, explained, but evidently, given Iran's murderous regime, a clear path to the bomb is negotiable. This is unconscionable. He charged that Iran's actions and ongoing aggression across the Middle East proved it did not intend to give up its regional ambitions either. So let me go down to another article. Netanyahu furious. Iran builds bomb while West talks. This is a recent article. 2 weeks ago, Iran trying to conquer Middle East, warns Netanyahu. Israeli Prime Minister, this is out of Newsweek magazine, published 2 weeks ago, has warned that the ousting of Yemen's president by Iranian-backed Shia rebels and an impending nuclear deal with world powers show that Tehran is attempting to conquer the Middle East. The Iran-Lashon Yemen axis is very dangerous to humanity and must be stopped, according to Netanyahu. This deal, as it is appearing to be emerging, bears out all of our fears, and even more than that, while world powers convene to sign this deal, Iran's proxies in Yemen are conquering large swaths of land in an effort to overtake the Bab al-Alam Straits, so that they can change the balance of power in shipping oil. Here's another article. Iranian official, we are preparing to liberate, please listen, Jerusalem. In this article, it says, militia carries out exercise to prepare for invasion of Holy City. General, the Islamic world is waiting for Tehran to call them to battle. The Bajij commander, the Mohammad Reza Naqdi, announced that the exercise was planned because the boastful, an expression used to indicate the U.S. and Western powers, by the way, are at the end of their path to power and the freedom-loving people and fighters worldwide. Islamists are angry and want to destroy the U.S. and Israel to restore Jerusalem to an Islamic city. The DAC added that the terrorists needed to be prepared now more than ever for the great liberation battle for Jerusalem, which would avenge the innocent blood spilled by Western powers. The general also claimed that the Islamists worldwide are waiting for the call to battle from the Islamic Republic. How about this one? Iran is placing guided warheads on Hezbollah rockets. This was 2 days ago, 3/31/2015. It says Iran is placing guided warheads on its rockets and smuggling them to Hezbollah in Lebanon. And we all know that Lebanon's on the north side of Israel, just a spit from the country of Israel. And Hassan, who's in charge of upper Tai missile defenses at HOMA, part of the Defense Ministry's Administration for Development of Weapons and Technological Infrastructure, described Iran as a train engine that is not stopping for a moment. It is manufacturing new and advanced ballistic missiles and cruise missiles. It is turning unguided rockets that had an accuracy range of kilometers into weapons that are accurate to within meters. So it's very evident, my friend, according to the prophet Daniel, that this ram would begin to get into a place where Iran and Iraq, the Medes and Persians, would get together, and he would begin to extend their influence throughout the Middle East, northward, westward, and southward. And we see this going on before our very eyes. Are they tied into focus concerning Israel? Absolutely. In fact, there is no other nation on the face of this planet that has talked more about the open annihilation and destruction of Israel. And just here, three days ago, I saw a video where the Ayatollah Khomeini was standing before a large crowd, and he was talking about the nuclear agreement, and they began to shout out in the crowd, "Death to America! Death to America!" And they chanted it over and over, and then the Ayatollah said, "Yes, death to America." All the while, the United States and John Kerry and the P5+1 group is sitting over there trying to make a nuclear deal with this country, who's calling for the open destruction of America also.
Okay, a couple of things I got to break in. Number one, we have no leadership that counts. They have their own agenda. But you know what? These things are about to come to pass and quickly. The Middle East is ignoring us. That guy that was negotiating for Iran for the last couple of days, even a commentator seen him. He's walking around smiling ear to ear like it was his birthday. That's how happy the Iranians are with this. Well, we got to go. You need to give your website, and we got to get out of here, and we'll do it again.
Okay, brother. SherwoodProphecy.org. Keep your eyes open, my friends. We are getting ready to go home. The good news, Yeshua is coming.
Yeah, amen. All right, goodbye and shalom. Be blessed, brother.
Shalom, brother.
Well, folks, wow, so much is going on. All you got to do is glance up and see it. It's there. Anyway, you must remember, here's the critical stuff. You must remember there is one God. He is your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him is the only way to the Father. Through him. That's it. So there is no other path. And he is without sin, unlike much of the United States saints. Anyway, pray about supporting the Mission Church. We really do need your help. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet,
I don't know. I really couldn't tell you what he said the whole program. But you know what? I just made a breakthrough, and I think we got it fixed. Yeah, that's what she said. She said, "Woohoo, got it." And so she's waiting for me to come back and finish. So I'm going to have to cut you short and finish this off with her. And I got my whip.